2016, this was a particularly difficult year for the global economy. Growth reached a post-crisis low of 2.3%, which resulted from two factors mainly. One is the continued stagnation of commodity exporters. It was the second year when commodity exporters did not register any meaningful growth. And then you had slowing growth in major advanced economies. So these two factors resulted in what was really a rock bottom for the global economy in the post-crisis period. But of course, rock bottom is be a good basis for recovery, and this is what we are expecting for this year to some extent. So we see a moderate improvement in global growth to 2.7%, which is, again, the reversal of what we've seen in 2016.
Investments also play a key role, and the investment level has been pretty low. What are some of the factors leading to the low levels of investment?
So both public and private investment across emerging and developing countries has been slowing down quite significantly since the immediate post-crisis period. Investment growth was 10% year-on-year in 2010 and then slowed to less than 3.5% in 2016. And of course, this is important for the global economy because investment in emerging and developing countries has come to play an increasing role. It's accounting for one half of global investment and two-thirds of the growth of global investment over the last 5 years. So what is happening in emerging and developing countries matters for the rest of the world. Plus, investment prospects for these countries is key for the future growth of these economies. And if that weak investment environment persists, this would have long-lasting consequences for growth prospects through a number of channels. It would slow productivity growth, capital accumulation, technological progress.
Let's talk about the commodity market. How does vulnerability in the prices of commodities play a role in affecting the growth rate, especially in the developing economies?
If you look at commodity exporters, clearly the sharp deterioration in their terms of trade that followed the drop in commodity prices broadly since 2011, this has been a major factor hampering investment in those economies. Now, if you look at commodity importers, you see that slowing FDI flows has been explaining some of that weakness. And also the fact that policy uncertainty has remained pretty elevated in those economies, but also in a number of emerging and developing countries, this has been a factor hampering investment.
How would change in a government's policy affect the growth level in that region?
What we've observed historically is when you have reform waves in emerging and developing countries, this is generally associated with high investment growth. So the reform momentum is very important for the investment outlook in emerging and developing countries. Now, policymakers can also spur investment more specifically by supporting public investment directly or encouraging private investment through a number of measures. They can also support access to foreign direct investment and take a number of measures to improve human capital and infrastructure.
So with respect to a major economy like the United States of America, do you think the incoming president's policies will have ripple effects on the global economy's growth level?
Yes, the U.S. economy plays a major role, obviously. So any change in policy in the United States will have a ripple effect across the world. Now, it is a bit early to actually assess in detail what these changes will be. We don't have yet the elements to have a full assessment of how the outlook for the U.S. economy will be affected by this new administration. What we've done in this report is to assess specifically the impact of tax cuts that have been proposed and that have been detailed in recent months. And what we have found is that if these tax cuts are fully implemented, not looking at any other policy changes, if they are also not compensated by other spending cuts, they could have a significant effect on the U.S. growth outlook.
Coming down to certain regional areas like the Middle East, where conflicts are on the rise, how is that affecting their growth level?
For the Middle East and North Africa, we see growth recovering slightly this year in the region, but mainly thanks to the recent recovery in oil prices. But growth is also moderate. And where the outlook has deteriorated the most is in sub-Saharan Africa. If you look at prospects for this year, again, we see some improvement. Deterioration of the outlook has been particularly marked in large economies like Nigeria and Angola. So we have some concern with developments in the region.
And lastly, how reliable are the figures from this report?
It is particularly difficult to make a macroeconomic forecast in this environment, since there is quite some policy uncertainty and policy changes are coming without knowing all the details yet. I'm referring to what was the outcome of the U.S. elections, but also the decision of the United Kingdom to leave the European Union. There are also a number of elections coming up this year, which might bring more change. So it's particularly difficult to make a forecast in this environment. And we acknowledge that focusing on the risk to this forecast. In the case of the United States, most specifically, what we've done is to assume no policy change for the baseline forecast, since we didn't have enough detail to actually assess the full set of policies that might change in the U.S. So obviously, trajectory of our forecast will be affected by whatever announcement will come from now onwards.